This podcast is for educational purposes only, as well as to give you general information and a general understanding of the law, not to provide specific legal advice. By listening to this podcast, you understand that there is no attorney-client relationship between you and the host of the show. This podcast should not be used as a substitute for competent legal advice from a licensed professional attorney in your state. Hello, and welcome to Business Wise with your host, John Estefanos. John is a licensed attorney in California, a real estate broker, and a serial entrepreneur. His goal is to educate and inspire business owners and entrepreneurs everywhere to achieve their dreams and set up their business to achieve the most success possible. This podcast is for educational purposes only, as well as to give you general information and a general understanding of the law, not to provide specific legal advice. By listening to this podcast, you understand that there is no attorney-client relationship between you and the host of the show. This podcast should not be used as a substitute for competent legal advice from a licensed professional attorney in your state.
Welcome to Business Wise. I'm your host, John. How are you guys doing? Hope everyone's doing good, and I hope you guys are having a great week. I hope your week was productive, and my week has been pretty good. Been very busy at work, and I've had a productive week myself, and it looks like I'm going to be very busy over the next couple months and probably throughout the entire year. I just got that much work, and but it's all good stuff, and I'm excited to take it on, and I hope you guys are doing the same thing, keeping busy and staying healthy. So today we're gonna kind of talk about another topic that we discussed before, but I'm going to add a little more to it, and I'm, you know, and give you a little more detail about it. And if you guys listened to last week's episode, we discussed salaried employees, and I gave you a little bit more there. And we talked about all, you know, how you pay a salaried employee and what the criteria is. Today, we're going to talk about 1099 independent contractors. And I picked those two because those are both very, very hot topics. A lot of employers want to pay their employees salary, okay, so that they don't have to do the whole lunch breaks and all that stuff, so they can be exempt. And a lot of employers want to pay people as 1099 because they don't have to pay the payroll taxes on them, right? And actually, the 1099 is advantageous to both sides. The person who's claiming to be an independent contractor, at the moment they're presented with payment, they don't have any taxes taken out. So they get to enjoy that. And then at the end of the year, they may be able to take expenses because they're acting like a business. They may be able to take expenses and therefore lowering their income and not paying so much taxes. And the employer benefits because the employer is not paying their share of taxes for payroll dollars generated because it's not being classified as payroll. So it's a win-win situation, and that's why employers like to do it. But I'm here to tell you, and I've told you before, and again, we've had a topic, we've discussed this topic, about a year ago, we talked about this. I'm here to tell you, look, don't do it, because chances are the person you are paying a 1099 to doesn't really qualify to receive the 1099. And in California, and again, right, we're always talking California. In California, this whole 1099 topic, again, very, very hot. There was a Supreme Court decision, the Dynamex case. And in the Dynamex case, the Supreme Court laid a three-prong factor test that the court will use to determine if somebody is 1099 or not, is an independent contractor or not. And when they did that, that Supreme Court decision made it extremely difficult to have people fit within that box. And that's why I'm talking to you about this. If I didn't talk a lot about it last time, I'm talking about it now. So I'm giving you basically two episodes on independent contractors. And I'm giving you two episodes on salaried employees. And those are two areas where I see business owners are just committing suicide when they do them wrong. Just like I said last week, you cannot mess this up. You cannot afford to. This can cause a big, big problem to you. It can, we'll talk about what some of these things are a bit later, but, you know, what kind of trouble can you get into and all that. But I do want you to know that it's something you really, really cannot mess up. So please get this right. And if it takes, you must watch these episodes, you must hear these episodes over and over to get this into your head. So let's talk about the ABC test, okay? If you know this stuff, you're way ahead versus the competition. So under the ABC test, a worker is considered an employee and not an independent contractor unless the hiring entity satisfies all three of the following conditions. And remember here, they're saying, look, you have to satisfy all three, okay? Not one or two, but there's three. And that person you're paying a 1099 to, okay, must fit within that box. So that's what makes it extremely hard. Okay. So what is the first prong or part A of this thing? The worker is free from the control and the direction of the hiring entity in connection with performance of the work, both under the contract for the performance of the work and in fact. So here's where a lot of people get in trouble. A lot of people will sit here and argue with me. Look, he's not under my control. I let him do whatever he wants to do. Okay. They're allowed to come and go as they please. And therefore, they are independent contractors. And what I'm going to say to that is no, that's probably not the case. Okay. You really have to take a look of this whole, under the contract for performance of the work and in fact. Maybe under the contract of performance of the work. So in other words, maybe, yes, you guys have a contract and agreement that you you're not going to exercise control over them. But that's not in fact what's happening. In fact is he's your employee. Okay, so you have to be very careful with that, because it's not as simple as you think. And I think in the Dynamex case, they talk about, I can't remember the example or the the case or the scenario they used for this, but I believe there was some knitters and sewers that were working for this company, and they worked out of the house, and the court said basically that even though they were working out of the house, that these sewers and knitters were still considered employees after the they were still considered employees of the factory. So it's not enough that you have somebody working out of the house, okay? If they are your employee and you are just having them work out of the house and you're not controlling their hours, they are not eligible to be a 1099 independent contractor, okay? Very, very important. Please don't think just because somebody's working out of the house, they're a 1099 contractor, okay? That will not do it. The other prong, or prong B, part B, the worker performs work that is outside the usual course of the hiring entity's business. And I think that's what kind of this ABC test brought to the table. That was new. That's something new they brought that they brought to the table. And this one is an extremely hard one, okay? So that means that the independent contractor you're paying or you're labeling or you're classifying has to be engaged in a business different from your business. So for example, for me, let's say I'm a law office, right? I'm a lawyer, I have a law office. Who would be an independent contractor? Well, someone who comes in and does electrical work for me, okay? Somebody who comes in and does plumbing work for me. Someone that comes in and does IT work for me, okay? But another lawyer that comes and does law work for me, that's kind of the same business. They may not be 1099. So again, remember, the person that you are paying has to be in a different line of business. This is, again, big, and you need to be aware of this. So, and remember, these three prongs, they all have to be satisfied. And if you just satisfy one or two of them, it's not going to cut it, and you will be deemed to have misclassified somebody as an independent contractor when they were in fact a W-2 employee. So some of these other examples could be a retail store that hires a plumber or somebody to repair a leak in the bathroom. Again, a retail store that hires an electrician. I use myself, law office, retail, a restaurant that hires somebody to do plumbing or, electrical work. But another example is like the clothing manufacturers that hire people, right, to do sewing for them at home. Right, we use that example in the part A, but in part B here, you see how they're not in a different line of work; they are in the same line of work. They're sewing for a clothing company, so you can see that manufactures clothing. So, again, make sure that it's different line of work. Part C or prong C, the worker is customarily engaged in an independently established trade, occupation, or business of the same as that involved in the work performed. Okay. So,
the hiring entity must prove the independent business operation is actually in existence at the time the work is performed. The fact that the business operation could come into existence in the future is not sufficient. Basically, to make this very simple, they're looking to see if that person that is 1099 has a independent entity, a license. Did they actually go out and get their own work? Right? Again, we go back to the plumber doing the work for the restaurant, the law office, the retailer. Chances are that plumber has a license. Chances are that plumber has an entity of their own. Chances are that that plumber, you probably found them online or went to his website or found them somewhere. So they are actually doing their own advertising. So basically, what you got to gather from this third prong is that other person you're dealing with has to almost operate like an entity and a business freestanding on their own 100%, just like you are kind of operating. And that has to be in existence at the time you are hiring them as an independent contractor. So you can see that, look, they boxed you in pretty well. These three prongs are very, very difficult to prove. But if the person is in fact a 1099, these three prongs are going to be very easy to prove. What they did was they closed all the doors and they made it very tough on those individuals, those businesses that want to hire people that are not truly 1099. Okay? So I want you to be careful. So you can never say, look, John never told me about the ABC test. I don't know what this is. I don't know what the Dynamex case is. I don't know that there was a major Supreme Court decision in California that really made it difficult for independent contractors, okay? I want you to know all this stuff because, again, I do not want you to mess this up. If you mess this up, remember, it's going to be very costly. How? Well, sometimes these people that you misclassify as 1099, they will go out and lawyer up, and then the lawyer will sue you, and they will say, look, you misclassified my client. My client was entitled to overtime, breaks, lunches, and you misclassified them, and as a result, you owe them, they've been working for you for 3 or 4 years or 2 years, whatever the case may be, this many hours a week. So then they'll go back and they'll do the math and you owe a bunch of money with penalties and interest. And, it's something where one employee doing this to you or one person doing this to you that you misclassify, if they were working for you for 2 or 3 years, at somewhere around whatever the $20 an hour range, this could be $100,000 that you're being asked to pay. So it's serious money. It's a serious case if you ever have one against you, and you don't need it. And the other thing is you'll have to go back and pay them all these hours, okay? And you'll have to pay your fair share of taxes on it as the employer that you would have paid to the state and the federal government. So the bottom line is you can't afford to misclassify. And even if that employee doesn't sue you, the state or the IRS can come in and audit. And if they audit you and say, look, how are you paying people? And you say, well, I have this genius idea. I'm paying by 1099. They have the right to see whether or not you actually can pay by 1099, and they will put you through the ABC test, and they will ask questions, and you, if you are deemed to have violated this or not done it correctly, they will go back, they will assess penalties, interest, and they will basically act like a lawyer for the employees. And you will have to pay them, and they will keep that money. They will reach out to the employees and give them their share or what they are entitled to. Look, please, please, please listen to me very good. You are talking to someone that has that it is continuing to represent and has represented people in these types of lawsuits and in these types of audits. And that's what you get with me. Remember the very, very first day I said, look, you guys are lucky. Not because it's me, not because of anything, but because I breathe this stuff day in and day out for a living. Because I've done this stuff before. So that's why I started this show or this podcast, because I was like, you know what? I got to give back. I got to give back to these business owners. I know it's very, very difficult on you guys. And I know there's a lot out there. And I know that sometimes you guys can be given bad information. So I started this podcast. I said, I just want to give back. I want people to be aware, and I want people to be in compliance. So please do not take anything I say lightly. I know what I'm talking about. I've been through audits in this area. I've been through lawsuits in this area. I've represented business owners. I've had audits that I've done that were so big that were, you know, the third biggest audit in California history by Department of Labor. I'm not here to sit here. I'm not trying to sit here and say, look, I'm this, I'm that. I tell you this stuff so you can trust what I'm saying. Do not have people do work that is basically your type of work, and just because they are working out of the house, you think it's a clever idea and a wise idea to pay them by 1099, because they are not. Follow this ABC test and make sure that employee or that person, sorry, checks off on all three parts. If they do, go ahead. If they don't do it. If you are not sure, get legal counsel, get some assistance. It's way cheaper to do that up front and find out than to find out later. Okay? That's two episodes I've given you on independent contractors. Two episodes I've given you on salaried employees. Again, these are the two areas I see. These are the two that are just killing every business owner. They have advantages to the business owner to do them, and I think that's why we are sucked into them. But you only do it if you can do it, not if you do it because it's saving you money, okay? You do it because you can legally do it, all right? I think that's it for today on independent contractor. Very, very important stuff. Learn this stuff cold. Seek the advice of an attorney. There's some stuff online that's pretty good too. You can watch this. You can hear this episode a couple of times. You can always reach out to us to get help. But that's pretty much what you need to do. Know it, know it, know it. Okay. that's it for today. Thank you so much for listening. Please subscribe and rate. Follow me on Instagram at BusinessWise Podcast and let me know any topics you would like discussed.